We return to our study of St. Mark's Gospel this morning, which has engaged us for a considerable number of Sunday mornings, and it would be helpful to have your Bible open at Mark chapter 8 and from verse 11. I wonder if, as we read that part of the chapter together, you noticed an overall connecting theme throughout these verses. It is in many ways a passage of varied incidents and different encounters Jesus has with different groups of people and individuals, but the thread which runs through the passage and holds it together is a theme, and it is the theme of spiritual blindness, the blindness of unbelief. That peculiar darkening of the faculties of the soul that makes Jesus ask in verse 17 of the passage, "Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear?" And then at verse 21, "Do you not yet understand?" It was this darkening of the faculties of the soul that Jesus sees in the Pharisees, and he sighs deeply over it in verse 12, when they asked him for a sign, and Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign?" It was this that was the condition of the disciples in verses 14 to 21, and of the people, I expect, who were confused about Jesus' person in verse 28. "Who do men say that I am?" they told him. "John the Baptist, say some, others Elijah, others one of the prophets." And it was this which was the condition of Peter's soul supremely in verse 33. When Jesus, having opened up to him an understanding and a vision of what the future was going to hold in his redeeming purpose, he turned and took him and began to rebuke him. And turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." And right at the heart of the chapter, there lies this highly significant miracle in which Jesus draws a man out of total darkness through the stages of seeing vaguely to seeing everything clearly. And although much of the chapter has a negative emphasis upon it, that is, Jesus is speaking about the tragedy of spiritual blindness of people who cannot see, who cannot understand, the main message of the chapter is a positive one, and that is that spiritual blindness and this kind of darkening of the understanding can be overcome. It was a sign of the coming of the Messiah, you see, that the eyes of the blind would be opened, the ears of the deaf would be unstopped, the tongue of the dumb would sing, the lame man would leap as an hart. When the Messiah came, men who were blind would see, and those who were in captivity would be liberated. And Jesus is saying to them here, the scripture is fulfilled. Spiritual blindness can be put right. Now, first of all, I want to look with you at these various examples of spiritual blindness, and to begin with the Pharisees from verse 11 to verse 13, the blindness of unbelief, because that is what they illustrate. The Pharisees came and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. Now, it's important to understand that this request for a sign from heaven is really a demand that Jesus prove to the Pharisees that he was from God. A sign in this sense was an evidence of trustworthiness, and that is what they are asking from Jesus. They are really saying, without this sign, without this evidence that God must give us that you are truly from him, we will not believe you. And they were therefore testing him. So it's important to see that it was not just a miracle that they were asking for. That would have been an evidence, like all of Jesus' miracles, of power. But what the Pharisees were really saying, you see, was that a miracle of power was not a sufficient sign that Jesus came from God. These miracles of power could have pointed to another realm of spiritual power, even demonic power. And they indeed said, he casts out demons by the prince of demons. So it was not merely a miracle that they were asking for, but a clear sign from heaven that he had God's authority. Now Matthew and Luke add Jesus' words rather dryly. He adds them, that the Pharisees are skilled masters at discerning the weather lore that they had come to build up. When the sky is red at night, you say it will be a good day tomorrow. You can tell the signs of the weather, he says, but they are blind to the signs of the times. That is, they have closed their eyes and shut their heart to the evidences that the Messiah is here. And Jesus says, no sign will be given to this generation, because these Pharisees, you see, are like the dwarfs in C.S. Lewis's Narnia stories. I hope you read C.S. Lewis's Narnia stories for children. They are just as much for adults as for children. What a vivid way he pictures the spiritual world. And these little dwarfs sit together in their filthy stable, squabbling and fighting with each other, utterly blind to the fact, refusing to believe the fact that there is another world outside. And the Pharisees were like these dwarfed creatures, refusing to believe that there was another world where people could see. The great lesson is that all forms of spiritual blindness have moral roots. The Pharisees were not blind to Jesus and to the things of Jesus because they were intellectually inferior. They were not blind because they hadn't had a certain kind of teaching. They were blind because they stubbornly opposed themselves to the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. They stubbornly stayed in the darkness, and ultimately they could not see. And that is what happens when people stay in the darkness stubbornly. They stubbornly refused to be taught, and ultimately they became unteachable. They stubbornly refused to listen, and ultimately they became deaf. They stubbornly refused to be molded by Jesus, and ultimately they became hardened. This is why Jesus' name for them, one of his most common names, is blind guides. Blind leaders of the blind, he calls them. For they actually did lead other people, you see. We will see the danger of this in a moment. They actually did lead other people, but they were blind leaders of the blind. And Jesus says, oh, blind guides, blind and fools, he says. Because they had the blindness of unbelief. It is a very solemn thing, my dear friends. May I say it to you as clearly as I know this morning. To refuse the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. Because ultimately you become confirmed in your blindness. It is a solemn thing to refuse to be taught, because you become ultimately unteachable. It is a solemn thing to refuse to listen, because ultimately you become spiritually deaf. It's a solemn thing to refuse to be molded, because ultimately you become spiritually deaf.
hardened.
And blindness spiritually has moral roots. Look at the blindness of the disciples. It was a blindness in the understanding, in the faculty of discernment, perhaps in seeing what is important to Jesus. Do you notice this in the passage? Jesus left the Pharisees and went into the boat with the disciples. And then when he spoke to them with a great sigh again and said to them, "Beware, take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod," he warns the disciples in that sigh of the spiritual blindness he sees in the Pharisees. What he is saying is that this kind of blindness is like leaven or yeast. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. That is, it is a spreading thing that affects everything around it. Now, says Jesus, don't let it affect you. Beware of the spiritual blindness which you see in these men. And they begin from verse 16 to make it obvious that in their own way they are just as blind as the Pharisees. And what they were blind to, if you follow carefully through this part of the passage, is the things that really mattered to Jesus. They thought that he was preoccupied by loaves and bread and material worldly considerations, the sort of things that certainly preoccupied the Pharisees and Herod. And when he says to them, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod," they discussed it, verse 16, with one another, saying, "We have no bread," or the New International Version puts it more clearly, "It is because we have no bread." That is, the reason he is warning us and chiding us is we have forgotten to bring bread in the boat. And he is worried about the question, and he is saying to us, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod, because we haven't brought bread." And Jesus chides them in verses 18 to 21 with the fact that they have become blind to the things that he is really preoccupied with. "Do you not yet perceive or understand," he says, the end of verse 17, "are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember?" And then he cites to them the two occasions when he has fed multitudes and says, "Do you not find it possible to trust me for these ordinary material things? There is something infinitely more important that is preoccupying me at this moment. Not bread for our stomachs, but sight for your spiritual eyes. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod." And they are revealing their own blindness in that they do not share Jesus' preoccupations. Let me put it to you this morning. Is there a blindness in your heart that prevents you really seeing the things that lie closest to the heart of Jesus? There is probably no more urgent question for us as Christians this morning than this. Is there a blindness that prevents us seeing the things that lie closest to the heart of Jesus? So that we are preoccupied with bread, as the disciples were, when Jesus is concerned about this profound warning that he is sounding, "Do not let the leaven of the Pharisees spread into your soul," he says. Now, Jesus' warning is that this blindness, the spiritual darkness he sees in the Pharisees, is something that does spread to other people. We underestimate the influence that we have on others, I would reckon. There is a sense in which all of us are leaders, you know. in that there is somebody, usually, sometimes there are many people we are leading. You may be leading them altogether unconsciously, but we are all of us in some sense leaders. Now, do you see what Jesus is warning the disciples about? The Pharisees are blind leaders of the blind, leading them into the ditch. And whenever you become spiritually darkened in your understanding, when the things that lie close to the heart of Jesus are not the things that lie close to your heart, then you become part of that leaven that spreads to other people. It is bad enough to be blinded ourselves, but how awful to make other people spiritually blind too. How awful to have Jesus saying to privileged disciples, "Do you still not understand?" Verse 17. "Do you still not see?" Verse 21. Now to Peter. Verses 32 and 33. You notice the blindness of Peter's unwillingness to let Jesus be Lord. It really is an extraordinary blindness which causes the disciple to take his master aside and give him a lecture on how he ought to be thinking. But this is exactly what Peter is doing in verse 32. Jesus said this plainly. That is, having seen Peter at the point where his eyes were opened and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," he then takes him on and opens to his understanding this further truth that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. That is, he opens the plan and purpose of God to him. And Peter takes him in verse 32 and began to rebuke him. In other words, he wants to instruct Jesus on how his plans for the future should be made. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not on the side of God, or you do not savor of the things of God, but of men." There are three forms of spiritual blindness then. The Pharisees, the blindness of unbelief. The disciples, a blindness in understanding. And Peter, the blindness that comes from an unwillingness to let Jesus be Lord. Now the positive message is that this spiritual blindness can be cured and overcome. And Jesus' healing of the blind man in the central section of the chapter is the evidence of this. It's far more than a physical miracle. It is in a sense the final link in a chain of events in this part of Mark's Gospel which established that the Messiah was here. At the end of chapter 7, do you notice that Jesus had opened the ears of the deaf and made the dumb to speak so that they said in 7:37, they were astonished beyond measure. He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the dumb speak. And the other evidence of the Messiah coming amongst men was that the eyes of the blind would be opened. Now what Jesus is demonstrating here in this miracle is that the real miracle of grace is not the physical opening of blind eyes and deaf ears. The real miracle is dealing with spiritual blindness, spiritual deafness. "Do you still not see or understand?" he asks in verse 17 and 18. "Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear?" And so as an evidence that he was come as the one who is the answer to spiritual deafness and blindness and dumbness, He now comes to open this man's eyes. You notice the steps in this healing. Jesus takes the man by the hand in verse 23 and leads him out of the village, away from the crowd. And I think those who suggest that he was doing it for a purpose are probably right when they infer that what Jesus is doing is demonstrating to this man the need for personal dealings with himself. It is through personal dealing with Jesus that the darkness could be dispelled. And that is a vital truth. If you are in spiritual darkness in any sense, it is only by personal dealing with Jesus that you will be brought to spiritual sight. So easy for this man and for us to be lost in the anonymity of a great company of people. It's especially true, perhaps, here, but one of the most vital things that this has to tell us is that it is by personal dealing with Jesus that all forms of spiritual blindness are dealt with. You notice also the man was brought to see gradually in two stages. In verse 23 and 24, he asks him, "Do you see anything?" And the man says, "I see men like trees walking." But then in verse 25, after Jesus had touched his eyes again, he saw everything clearly. Now, exactly what Jesus was doing and why he healed this man in two stages when he healed other blind people in one stage, it is impossible to be sure. John Owen, the great Puritan, uses this as a parable of two touches that God lays upon the blind eyes of men. The first touch, he says, is the work of grace, where God opens our eyes, but we see through a glass darkly. The second touch is the work of glory, where God makes all things plain to us. And certainly that is something that Scripture would teach us clearly. But it may also be that Jesus is pointing to the fact that he does not mean to leave us seeing confusedly. Some think there is a parallel in verse 28 of the chapter where he asks them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they say, "John the Baptist," some say, others say, "Elijah," others, "one of the prophets." There is a confusion in their seeing. They see certain things because it was true that Jesus was one of the prophets. There is a measure of light in this. But there is an immense importance in recognizing that it would have been incredibly sad if this man had stuck at the point where he was unable to discern the difference between men and trees. And Jesus drew him into the place where he saw all things clearly. Now let me point something out to you in this connection about Peter. Peter saw clearly in verse 29, when from that dimness, when they said, "Some say this, others say that, and nobody is clear," he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." Now Matthew tells us that Jesus added to Peter, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, your eyes have been opened, Peter," he says. "This is not something that you can understand through mere fleshly wisdom. My Father has revealed it to you." And Jesus is rejoicing in Peter's opened eyes. But you notice in verse 32, he has reverted to a form of spiritual blindness again. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, and we read in the other Gospels, he said, "This will be far from you, Lord." He saw clearly, but then his sight began to dim because of the moral issue that he was refusing the lordship of Jesus and the lordship of the word of Jesus over his life. Now do you see the sadness of that? Spiritual insight. Let me press this upon you. Spiritual insight, spiritual understanding, and self-sacrificing obedience to Jesus go together. An absolute commitment to the lordship of Jesus and his word is the key to spiritual vision. Now let me ask you this morning as we draw to a conclusion, what about your spiritual vision? What about your spiritual sight? The great majority of us here this morning have known what it is for the Lord Jesus to open our eyes. Whatever the miracle has to say about these stages is not important. We have seen God open our eyes and we have come to say, "Ah, I see this now." We may once have said, "Lord, I was blind. I could not see in thy marred vision any grace, but now the beauty of thy face in radiant vision dawns on me." But you know what I discover, and it's one of the saddest things in the whole world to me. What I discover is that there are people who, having seen, because of moral disobedience, of an unwillingness for the word of Jesus and the will of Jesus to be their absolute authority, they become blind again. Let me tell you how it works. They usually say with a measure of superiority about some issue, "Oh yes, I used to think it was clear-cut like that. I used to think it was all black and white like that. But I've grown to see it differently now. I used to see things that way, but I don't see them like that any longer." And what they're really saying is, "God help me, I have become blind in some measure, seeing men as trees walking." And it is a very, very dreadful thing. Not only because of what it does to you, leads you further into the dark and into confusion, but what it may do to other people. Because I tell you again, you are a leader of some. And it would be a very terrible thing if the Lord Jesus were to say to us, "Oh, blind guides, oh, blind leaders of the blind, because we had refused to have our eyes truly opened. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," says Jesus. "And I tell you that all forms of spiritual darkness the Lord Jesus Christ is able to lift. Lord, make me teachable. Make me pliable in my spirit under your hand alone." Is that what you really need to pray this morning? "Lord, make me see." Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, we would be clear-visioned as we come to you today because of all the darkness in the world. We long that we might see clearly. If there are some of us who have never been brought from darkness into light, enable us to come to Jesus, that we may have personal dealings with Him today. If our sight has grown dim because of our unwillingness to go the way of the cross, restore our sight for Your mercy's sake, and grant that we may see and understand for Your name's sake. Amen.